Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, with particular focus on these words, "Behold, your King is coming to you." Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier, today is the first Sunday in Advent, which signals the beginning of a new church year. And for most folks out in the world, this is the season where their whole minds are focused on Christmas morning, planning celebrations, buying presents, and hanging decorations. But the season of Advent is not a countdown to Christmas morning. The word Advent means coming, and the season of Advent is a penitential season of repentance and of faith, so that we're prepared to meet our Savior when He does come. During Advent, our readings focus around our Savior coming in three different ways. Coming in the past in His incarnation, coming in the present in word and sacrament, and coming in glory on the last day when He returns. The direction of this coming separates the two major religions in the world. The true religion is the one in which God comes to us. He comes to us to save us from the wages of our sin. It's the religion of the prophets and the apostles, as recorded in Holy Scripture. And the focus of the true religion is Christ Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, who entered His own creation to redeem sinners such as you and I. The other major religion is the false religion. It teaches that God does not come to us, but we must go out and find God. This religion goes by many different names, and sadly, sometimes it goes by the name of Christian. But it is a religion of a ravenous wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. It teaches how man comes to God to get Him to do special favors for him, get Him to do whatever you want Him to do. Now, the details of how to manipulate this God vary from false religion to false religion. But what they all have in common is mankind's effort is required. If you want to escape your situation in life, if you want to find a blessed happiness, it's up to you to do all the work. The true religion is a religion of salvation by grace alone through faith in Christ Jesus, your humble King who comes to you. The false religions are religions of works, salvation by works. You have to find your own way, find your own King, and make Him your own God. Now, it might seem a little odd to have a Palm Sunday text on the first Sunday of the church year, but it's intentional. Because Jesus' birth in Bethlehem is not the climax of His incarnation. The sole reason for Jesus coming in the flesh on Christmas morning was to complete His work of salvation on behalf of all mankind. Jesus didn't come to give you a list of steps of living a better and successful life. He didn't come to bring you a checklist of things to accomplish that once your checklist is complete, then He will give you blessings and mercy. He also didn't bring you a Where's Waldo book so that you can go out into the world and know where to seek and find Him. No, your King came humbly first into a manger. He came in a manger for one purpose, and that was so that He could go to the cross and die for your sins. And He doesn't stop there. He's coming again on the last day. He'll take all who believe in him off to eternal paradise, while all the unbelievers will be condemned to eternal damnation. So when we look at the story of Christmas and Easter and even the end times, all three of these are not different stories, but they're different points of salvation's story. The details of this story begin long before the foundations of the earth were ever set. God saw that mankind needed a Savior. And the details of this story are woven all the way throughout Holy Scripture. You can go to Scripture and trace Jesus' genealogy back over 2,000 years before he arrived in Bethlehem. The King of Kings family tree includes several people thought to be the world's greatest kings. One of those was King David. Israel flourished under David, flourished in power and in prosperity under David. But it had nothing at all to do with David. It had everything to do with God working through David. God came and made a covenant with David, saying, "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This means that the Messiah would come from King David's lineage. And we're reminded of that fact in our gospel text today. The crowds recognized Jesus for who he was, as the Messiah, as they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." As great as King David was, like you and me, he is a poor, sinful individual. David's life reads a little bit like a trashy novel. He was sinful, and so were all his descendants. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. To cover up that sin, he went out and had Bathsheba's husband put to death. One of David's sons, grew up to commit incest with his half-sister. And this caused the other brother to go murder that son, his brother. And the story only gets worse from there, deeper and darker into sin. And just after Thanksgiving weekend, you thought your family had issues. Congratulations, you're in good company. In a matter of speaking, your family, my family, is no different than King David's in Scripture. All families have their own baggage. As I often say, some of us are just a little better at keeping it undercover. But there's nothing like the Christmas season to make you more acutely aware of the hurts and the turmoil in your own family. Many have to separate Christmas parties due to divorces in the family or siblings that can't get along. Possibly you have someone in your family who can't forgive the past actions of someone else, so, well, we'll have dinner with those folks on another occasion. Amid all your perfect Christmas dreams, the realities of sinfulness and imperfection continually boil up within your family. They raise their ugly heads for everyone to see. And you're not alone. And this is why Jesus comes for you. Like King David, when the desires of your heart take control, sin repeats itself over and over again. Your sin causes you to turn inward and depend on yourself, making you your own God, trying to seek out your own salvation through your feeble attempts. And your attempt to salve your hurts and with the pleasures of the world just make things worse. Or when you drown your sorrows in more alcohol or some other sinful pleasure. Rather than saving yourself, you're just digging a deeper hole into sin and transgression. You see, it doesn't matter whether you are the greatest king who ever lived on earth, or you're a resident in Huber Heights, or Tip City. Separation from God leaves a cold, empty void in one's heart, and all the self-medication in the world can't fill it. This is why Jesus came for you. Just as David recognized his sin and lamented in his transgressions, sometimes it's not until you have been forced to weep and lament and be driven to the foot of the cross in despair that you're finally ready to let go and come to God in true repentance. One thing is sure, you don't have to go out seeking God. You don't have to go out searching for Him. Jesus comes to you right where He always promises to be, here in Word and Sacrament. Jesus is the Son of David, who comes as King of Kings. As we talked about earlier downstairs in Bible study, Jesus is a threefold king. He is a prophet who rules by His word. And by His word, He opens the kingdom of heaven to all who believe in His word. His word is active. It is effective. It creates faith in one's heart and brings you to true knowledge in Him. His word doesn't give you a long checklist of things to do to earn His favor. No, Jesus comes to you by grace alone. By contrition and repentance, His word declares you forgiven of all of your attempts to go out and find your own God, make yourself your own God, your feeble attempts of self-medication to drown out the pain of this world. Well, when Jesus declares you forgiven, by His word, the voice of Satan, your accuser, is silenced. Jesus throws your sin as far away as the east is from the west, and His word continues to strengthen your faith and keep you in that true faith. King Jesus is also a priest. The priest who came to make the perfect sacrifice made on Calvary's cross, the altar of Calvary's cross. He died that whoever so believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died the death that you and I deserve. And in His resurrection, He is the first fruits of everlasting life. Jesus is King of Kings, but yet a different kind of king. Every other king in this world wins and protects life within their kingdom by the elimination of lives of others, shedding the blood of their enemies. Jesus' kingdom is eternal. He opens it up to you not only by shedding His own blood on the cross, but that blood that was shed was handed over. He handed Himself over into death so that that blood would be shed, so that you would be saved. This king wins life for all through His death. While this king has ascended at the right hand of the Father in heaven, He's not far away, because He promises to come to you just as humbly as He did on that Palm Sunday, just as humbly as He came in the manger. He comes here by simple means of word and sacrament. This king comes to you in baptism, drowning that old Adam and raising you a new creation in Christ. Your king comes to you in the holy absolution, forgiving all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He comes to you in the preaching of His word, for God's word is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And your king comes to you this morning, right here, in His humble means of His body and blood given and shed for you in simple bread and wine. Before you receive this supper this morning, you'll sing the Sanctus like we do every week. But this morning particularly, confess those same words of those saints in Jerusalem that morning as Jesus entered on a donkey. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Brothers and sisters in Christ, behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. As St. Paul tells us, the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Your King comes for you. From cradle to cross, from grave down into hell to declare victory over sin, death, and the devil, and then risen from the grave and ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, so he does continue to reign over all things. And until he returns on that last day, he comes to you right here in his holy Christian church, where he teaches you his ways so that you may walk in his paths. For as you wait for his final advent, drown that old Adam daily in those baptismal waters and arise a new creation in Christ. As St. Paul tells us, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, reflecting that light of Christ to unbelievers through your works and your deeds, through your tithes and through your offerings. Not because they count toward your salvation, but because you are saved and the love that flows from that salvation. Your works and tithes are your confession of faith in an unbelieving world. It's a confession that you trust in the one who came for you and the one who will return on the last day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.